You may be seated. And children, you may go out the back to Children's Church. Have fun, guys. All right. Before I jump in this morning, I just want to take a second and ask for a prayer from you guys. Not for me, but I didn't get a chance to give Jim an update before prayer time, but my grandfather, who you guys prayed for a couple weeks ago with his hip replacement surgery, we just found out yesterday that at some point this week he had a stroke as well. So he's super confused and can't put thoughts together and all kinds of different stuff, and the doctors are passing him around. They sent him home, they brought him back, and all kinds of stuff going on. So if you could just be praying for him. It's just starting to get at that point where it's a little scary, you know? So, would appreciate the prayers. And then on that note, I'll try to start. those of you who were able to join us last week for the community service, it was a really good service. Those of you who weren't there, you missed a really good service. You know, he talked about speaking the truth in love, and in some ways it was, you know, his response to the crazy things that happened in Charlottesville last weekend. You know, and kind of when I heard about the things that were going on and how people were calling for the church to do something, my immediate thought was, what can we do? Like, what can we really do about it? And then a lot of my pastor friends started, you know, they were preaching sermons on it last week and sharing them and putting posts on Facebook about just all the different things that we're supposed to be standing on and the truth that we believe in. And I've had all week to kind of soak all that in and think about it and pray about it. And as I thought back to my immediate reaction and my conversation with Amanda about that, her response kept coming to my mind. She said, maybe we can't do something about this immediate particular situation, but we can identify our own prejudices and deal with them. And ultimately that helps deal with the situation as we continue to move forward as a world. A world that is broken, a world that needs Christ. And that's just been kind of sitting on my heart all week. And so that's where we're focusing this morning. So I want to start with sort of an object lesson. We've been doing object lessons all weekend. We had the teen camp out up at McHenry Mountain this weekend. We did an object lesson several times. So I'm in object lesson mode. Have you ever worn sunglasses that have like a little bit of like a color tint to them? Like these particular ones have a little bit of a blue tint to them, which are not good in this room because everything is blue. But when I wear them, everything has a little bit of a, like a tint of blue to them. I know Chris is wearing a blue shirt, but the rest of Chris looks a little blue too. and I don't really notice that until I take them off. And I see things for what they really are instead of through the blue lenses. And we kind of do that with prejudice. We see things through colored lenses. The colored lenses of our upbringing, of our experiences, of the culture around us. And they put this tint and change our view. And that's how we see everything. And that's the basis of prejudice. You know, it can be cultural, it can be racial, it can just simply be a difference of preference. We can have prejudices in so many different areas. You know, we find it hard to relate to people that are different from us. However it is that they're different. But it's based on preconceived notions. It's based on those things in our lives that have put that tint over our glasses. So this is the way we see. And a lot of times we don't even realize it until we take them off. Until we allow God to do that work in our lives. And see, wow, I was looking through colored lenses. I wasn't seeing things the way that I should be seeing them. We can't run away from it. In some way, all of us are affected by it, even if it's very subtle. And that's why we need to remind ourselves to see people the way that God sees them. To see the world with the eyes of Christ. And that's not easy for us. And it wasn't even easy for Peter. And we're going to look at Peter's story a little bit this morning in Acts chapter 10. The story where he has a vision. And he's called to go and be with Cornelius and his family. And we're kind of dive into that story and get a little bit of an understanding of what it is Peter was experiencing when this is all happening. Now, for Peter and the other Jewish believers, this was really difficult because of their generations of beliefs, their generations of religious practices. They have lived up to this point as God's chosen people. They'd been following God's law all their lives. They've seen the fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus the Messiah, who was prophesied, came and rescued them. And now the Lord is telling them to share that privilege with everybody else. You know, it's one thing to hear Jesus tell them, go and make disciples of all nations. But it's a whole other thing to cross the cultural and the racial divide and go do it. In their immediate context, they're being told to share this Savior of theirs with Gentiles. And for them, Gentiles are people who have never lived by their laws. They're people who didn't circumcise the unclean and ungodly. And they were really different from them. But the time has come for them to start ministering to more than just their people. More than just the people who are like them. And the Lord started this with Peter. This event happens several years after Pentecost, when 3,000 people were added to their number and the Holy Spirit came on them and filled them. And so you can see, for these several years, they've been reaching people, but they didn't reach beyond their own race. They were reaching people that are like them. But now they had to cross the racial line. God is calling them to go to people that are not like them. And so there's this devout and God-fearing Gentile and his family, and they're all ready to hear about Christ. They're hungry. They want to know more. But in order for them to hear more, Peter had to overcome his prejudices. He had to get over it. and go do what God was about to call him to do. Now, I can sympathize with, or empathize, I don't know, whichever word it is. Don't get me started on that. With Peter. You know, I can kind of understand what he was feeling. We all find it hard to initiate contact with people that we don't know, with people that are different than us. It's difficult. It's awkward. We're not sure how to do it. You know, they might not even just be different than us. They might not be like us, but they might also be someone we don't like, which is the case here. They grew up not liking the Gentiles. There was even a separate section of the temple for the Gentiles to go to. Couldn't even worship with them. They didn't like them. We can see a little bit of this already happening in Acts chapter 9. This difficulty with people that are different, that we have preconceived notions about. Acts chapter 9 tells us about Saul. After his conversion, he's just become a Christian. He's a follower of Christ now. God has called him to be his instrument. But he goes to join in with the disciples. And they're like, no, we don't believe you. You're that guy who persecutes us. We don't want you here. And they wouldn't let him in. He had a real experience with Christ. But he was different. His past was a little checkered, and they wouldn't let him in. Have you ever been ostracized before? And all alone, and you just can't get into the clique? I'm sure at some point in our lives we've all experienced it in some way. Then you can understand a little bit about what Paul was feeling here. It's like, God, I'm doing what you told me to do. Why? Why is this happening? And this was happening in the kingdom, you know, in the body of Christ. But we can thank God for people like Barnabas. Because Barnabas stepped up and he spoke for Paul. And he tried to bridge that gap to bring the body together. Now, prejudice happens when we have preconceived notions about people like they did about Paul. They doubted his experience with Christ. And that's not their place. If prejudice is left unchecked, it can become a deep-seated divider. It can be a real problem. We need more people like Barnabas today to bridge that gap, to help us become aware of our prejudices. But how can we do that? How can we overcome our prejudices? How can we switch the color in our lenses? How can we take off our glasses? One way we can do that is by learning to see people the way that God sees people. By learning to see things the way that God sees things. Everyone is a prisoner of his own experiences. That's how we got the colored lenses. The way we grew up. The way people taught us. The culture that we grew up in. That's how we got our colored lenses. We read things from that perspective. But to get the true picture, we need God's revelation in our lives. We need to see things the way he sees things. We need to see people the way he sees people. So here we are in the story of Peter. He's on the roof. It says he fell into a trance. He's praying and he just kind of like goes into this weird mode. Whatever, you know, just kind of God comes and he starts speaking to him. The voice tells him as this sheet is coming down from heaven. First of all, it says heaven opened up. What does that look like? That would be kind of crazy. Heaven opened up. We use that phrase when it rains really hard. I don't think that's what it means. But heaven opened up and a sheet comes down filled with all of these, what Peter and the other Jews would have called unclean animals. And God says to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. He's telling him to do something he has been raised not to do. And he says, surely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. He told God no. First mistake. And then the voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. It is not your place to determine what is clean and what is unclean. All men can be saved today, not by the observance of the law, but by God's grace. Everyone, every single person has access to this grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Every single person. Galatians 3 tells us there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And now this exchange between Peter and God here, verse 16 says it happened three times. He had to convince Peter. Peter couldn't get it through his head. So God had to tell him three times. Things are changing, Peter. It is not for you to decide who gets to hear about Christ. It's for everyone. And this is difficult for Peter. It's hard for him to make this shift. Because God is calling him to accept people, to care for people whose traditions, morals, and way of life are completely different than his. He actually finds their life repulsive. The Gentiles were looked on by Jews with great contempt. And God's saying, go talk to them. They need this too. And it's a difficult change because these lenses are not simply sunglasses that you can take off. It's become part of us, whether we're aware of it or not. And this is the way to fight prejudice. To learn to see things the way God does. What we think is right is not always right. What he thinks is right is always right. How we see people is not always right. How he sees people, it's always right. He's not wrong. And if God loves and forgives and extends mercy and grace, then we are called to do the same thing. It's not about rightness or justice. It's about mercy and grace. But not only do we need to learn to see things the way he sees them, which we can't do without his help, we also need to learn the golden rule. It's how to treat people. Treat them the way you want to be treated. Matthew 7:12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. If you don't want to be excluded, you don't want to be treated different because of things that are true of you, what makes you think that they do? Whoever they is for you. We have to treat others the way we would like to be treated. Now, I imagine the Gentiles would not like to be treated with contempt. And I know Peter doesn't want to be treated with contempt. And if he doesn't want to be treated with contempt, why should he treat them with contempt? have to keep in mind that forgiveness and mercy and grace are part of God's character. They're part of who he is. They're not just things that he does. They're part of who he is. Jesus forgave the people who sent him to the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He's in the midst of dying on a cross, which is very painful, I imagine. Don't know from experience. And he forgave them. And he offered forgiveness to the two people on the crosses around him. So there is no reason that we could ever come up with to not forgive other people. To hold things against people. Actually, it's bad for your heart. And for your overall emotions. We can't let anger live in us. We can't let hate live in us. Because it's not of him. If you let these bad emotions out by forgiving, you will begin to understand the character of God more and more. We should love everyone the way that God loves his children. His children who don't do right all the time. We all mess up. Which gives us no right to hold stuff against other people. Christ hasn't held us against us. We're going to jump back into the story of Peter here for a second. What did he do eventually? Well, he followed the three men who God sent to his door, and he went with them. It took God telling him three times, but he did it. He went. And there's Cornelius at his house. His whole family, probably whole clan, already gathered and waiting for him. They knew he was going to come because God said, hey, guess what? I'm sending somebody to you. They were waiting. Peter shared the gospel. And then we look at Acts 10, 44 through 46. While Peter was still speaking the words, he wasn't even done yet. Still talking. Wasn't even done yet. The Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Wow. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter, so people who share the same prejudices as him, came with him. They came with him. They were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. They heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. The Spirit of God rubber stamped this event, giving his approval. He said, this is the way it is now. It's for everybody. And now Peter's not the only one who knows it. Because a bunch of people just saw this happen. The Holy Spirit came to Gentiles. Oh my goodness. For them it was shocking. For me, I'm grateful because that's me. If Jesus could forgive from the cross those who yelled for his crucifixion, what would hinder him from forgiving a Gentile who is hungry to learn more about him? Nothing's going to get in that way. His grace and his mercy are greater than we could ever think and believe. God gave Peter and his Jewish group a clear, heaven-sent authentication. This message is for real. The Gentiles are accepted into my kingdom. So in Acts 10, 34 and 35. So Peter opened his mouth and said, he probably was like stunned, you know. Truly I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Everyone. And we would like to believe that this one event would change Peter's life. And it did. But that old attitude and those prejudices crept back in. They came back on him. And Paul wrote about it in Galatians 2. He said, "When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong." Talk about calling him out. He opposed him to his face. "Peter, you're wrong. You're messing it again." And before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. So he had been doing it right. He was doing what God told him in that trance to do, in that vision. But then these guys show up. He began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. He started to withdraw to that, "Oh, I got to do what the people like me do. I got to stick with the people who are like me." He started to redraw that line. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy. So now everybody else is joining in with him. So that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. Remember Barnabas, the guy who spoke on behalf of Paul, who people were showing prejudice against, to bridge that gap? Peter's even pulling him to the wrong side of this thing now. "When I saw they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all." So he made this public. He didn't approach him quietly on the side. He called him out. "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?" He said, "You're a Christian acting like a non-Christian. But you're asking non-Christians to act like Christians. You got this wrong, Peter." And he called him on it. I read that and I'm like, is he talking to me? You're a Christian who's not acting like a Christian, and you're asking non-Christians to act like Christians. Prejudice can be pretty deep-seated. And if we're not careful, we can get sucked back into it. If we're not already there. Even the high-profile Christians, like Peter, are faltering and having a tough time with it. He was the leading apostle in the church, but he had weakness. And he needed someone to point that out. We need that sometimes. We need someone to call us on the stuff that we're doing, to hold us accountable. I'm sure he didn't appreciate the way Paul did it, but in the end, I'm sure he appreciated somebody speaking into his life. Someone serving as a mirror to help him see what he was doing. James 1:22 through 25 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." A guy spoke at Life Conference several times ago. And he spoke on that passage and he said, it's like looking in the mirror and seeing, he was pretty extreme, but he said, it's like seeing like a piece of salami stuck to like your cheek. And you see it in the mirror. But like as soon as you turn away from the mirror, you forgot there was salami on your face and you didn't do anything about it. You just left it there. And that's what it's like. When God is using people to call us on our stuff, when God is using his word to point out the things that we need to deal with, if we see them, we become aware of them and just walk away without doing anything about it, that's wrong. We can't do that. When God makes us aware of the things that we need to change them. It requires his help, but we need to change them. We can't just acknowledge it, but we have to accept it. We have to accept that this message, that this love, that this grace, that this mercy is for everyone. No matter who it is. Peter began to draw back. Because he was afraid of those who belong to the circumcision group. We're naturally drawn to people who are like us. It's really hard to buck that. We have a preference to stay with our own group. You know, like birds of a feather flock together. It's just easier. We struggle to tolerate people that are different. That's why we need to pray for unity in the body of Christ. We need to care for each other. We need to take the word to everyone. There will be Jews and Greeks, slave and free, male and female, and we are all one in Christ. Not everyone's going to be like you. I found a quote from Mother Teresa. She says, "If you judge people, you have no time to love them." And we often have, you know, the understanding, you know, we say that faith and fear cannot coexist with each other. But I think in addition to that, I'm realizing that judgment and love cannot coexist with each other. If I am judging someone, I am not loving them. If I am loving them, I am not judging them. They cannot coexist. He loves all without prejudice, and we need to follow in his feet. Follow in his footsteps. Follow in his feet. What is that? But it's not as easy as it sounds. We see that in Peter. It was hard for him. He slipped back out of it. He needed someone to call him on it and to challenge him so he could get back on the right track. But by the grace of God, we can grow out of it. Let us grow to be more loving and more gracious, more forgiving, just like Christ. That's what we're called to do, is to be like Christ. We need to rid ourselves of the prejudices that we hold, whether it's about gender, whether it's about race or age or class or disabilities or anything else. There could be an infinite list of things that we could hold against people. We need to see people the way God sees them. We need to treat people the way we want to be treated. And we need to acknowledge and accept that not everybody's the same. People are different. We need to allow forgiveness and love to bring us together in the grace of God, not judgment. I want to give you real quick a few tips to help you identify and deal with your prejudices. One, look at what makes you uncomfortable. I don't mean like a chair. What things around you make you uncomfortable that might help you begin to see things that you're prejudiced toward? Or look at your actions. Who do you tend to go towards on the street? Who do you greet? Who do you try to avoid? Can help you identify some of your prejudices. But above everything else, ask God to show you. And be open to what he's going to show you. Sometimes those things are hard to admit. But if God is showing it to you, it's there. And you need to ask him to show it to you and to help you deal with it so you don't keep backsliding like Peter did and just sticking with people who are like you. As we sing the closing song this morning, I really want to ask you to take some time to ask him to reveal to you the prejudices that are in your life, to help you see the way he sees, to help you learn how to treat people the way you want to be treated, to learn how to accept that people are different. What does he want to say to you this morning? What does he need to call you on? I want to leave you with one passage. 1 John 4:20 to 21. And this passage hit me like a ton of bricks. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Plain as day. If you say you love God but hate your brother, you're a liar. That's very blunt, but he said it, not me. Let's pray. Lord, this is just some stuff that's tough to deal with. Especially when we're not even always aware of the things that are in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, just open us up. Start to reveal to us the things that we need to correct, the things that we need to follow you in order to show love, not judgment. Help us to stop rationalizing things and to see people the way you see them. Help us to love the way you love. In your name we pray. Amen.
Would you please stand with us for the final song? So we picked this one because it means quite a bit to a couple of us up here. Going to the Dominican a couple of times. But if you notice, we've done a lot of different things this week for worship, like adding trumpets, which we've never done in a long time. It's my last week here, and I wanted to make something special. So we're going to do this a cappella. Please join. It's going to be awesome.
So we're going to sing this through twice. The first time, let it be quiet, kind of a song of reflection and prayer. And then the second time we sing it through, I really encourage you to sing it out. Sing to the Lord.